Let's freaking go. Getting you ready for an LSU baseball sweep. We have got to chat some tackle football. I was thoroughly impressed with Caleb Jackson speaking to the media. A very introspective look into what to many people would believe the most disappointing season. You know, Caleb Jackson had so much hype leading into year two. It wasn't just the truck stick versus Mississippi State. It wasn't just the Whit Weeks truck stick in practice. It was everyone believing that not only Caleb Jackson would have a big season, but this entire LSU rushing attack would be what fueled us. And the play-action passing game out of it potentially with Garrett Nussmeier. And none of that happened. Absolutely, positively, none of it. Our offensive line was mostly not good in the run game. And our running backs were saved by true freshman, now true sophomore, Caden Durham. But this has been a good thing. This final week of practice, Caden Durham, as a precautionary measure, decided to not practice. Well, LSU held him out of practice. And you guys know how I feel about Caden Durham. I think he's a top five player on this entire roster. I think he really is that big time. But this week, and including today, while Caden Durham was in pads for practice, he didn't practice. In fact, he wasn't even wearing cleats. It was Caleb Jackson who had the opportunity to get a taste of those first team reps. And not only did he get that opportunity, they also put him in front of the media. Now, it may not mean a whole lot that you do these media sessions. I think it means a whole hell of a lot, personally, because this is very different. You are talking to the people of LSU on behalf of the entire multi-million dollar operation. So you're getting coached up for what answers you're supposed to give. You're also under a lot of pressure. I mean, there's cameras all around you, but I want you to hear how impressive this media session was from Caleb Jackson.
Caleb, how did spring go?
For spring, I want to set a couple goals myself just to be better overall and from pass protection to run game to being a third down back and out the backfield. I feel like I accomplished that in some shape or form. So I think I had a pretty productive spring just getting better as a player overall.
Just if you can, just what is the journey been like? What has been the challenge of learning football or the things that you've, you know, been working on the 2 years you've been here?
Since I've been at LSU, it's my freshman year. It was just learning the offense, learning how to be a professional D1 power five running back that plays for the SEC. And I had to learn fast. My freshman year, I think I got a taste of it. I did some good things, you know, but I still wasn't complete, still young, still fresh, you know what I'm saying? Not, you know, sculptured to be the starting back for a Power 5 team yet. And last year, it was really just me getting over ahead of myself, getting overzealous, and, you know, still had to learn the offense, still had to learn what was going on, still had to learn all type of stuff. And, you know, my time wasn't last year, but maybe it's going to be this year. So that's pretty much my journey how LSU has been.
You've had those moments.
All right, before we continue here, why I think this is so important. Man, these answers are good. These answers are good. It was very self-reflective. It was him admitting, hey, basically, I need to be better. And he was thrusted into action somewhat quickly as a true freshman. But last year just wasn't good enough. And he talked about being overzealous. You know, with Caleb Jackson, I had him very highly rated on my own personal grading scale for high school recruits. And oftentimes my high school recruiting grades do not line up with that of the recruiting services. And a big part of it was his athletic profile. He is heavy. We'll get to that in a second. But the man was clocked at over 21 miles per hour running with a 215 to 225 pound frame that he had in high school. The dude is an athletic freak. He is who you want built at the running back position. He is a force. But part of playing running back is that it is a cerebral position. There are times where you must display your patience. You must set up your blocks. You must get better in pass protection. So the fact that you hear him say a word like overzealous, that lets us know that he is really, really, really looking at himself and saying, man, maybe I was a little too excited. Maybe I was a little, I want to go out there and make a play as a player. So I am really excited about Caleb Jackson going into next season. Let's continue here.
Almost, right? Well, you've run over guys and you've really flashed.
Yes, sir.
Your potential.
Yes, sir.
So what's the key to, you know, flashing that more?
Really the key is consistency. You know, just keep doing it over and over again. Not be a, you know, a one trick pony and stuff like that. I have to learn the consistency of doing it over and over and over again. Just being great, consistency, being dependable, being the guy they can count on at all times.
What about your weight? Has that been, are you trying to get to a certain spot and stay at a certain spot? Or
yes, sir. Last year, I put on 10 pounds. Wasn't unhealthy, just more of I was heavier, didn't have that extra step. I still had my speed, per se. It just didn't have the, you know, the shiftiness that a back needs. And then it's bad on your knees all that way. So I feel like I wanted to come down back in 225, and that's been my goal for spring also, and I've pretty much achieved it by now.
It's that balance between, hey, I want to be powerful, but yes, then I want to lose a step.
Yeah. So basically, you know, you want to run through people, so the heavier you are, you know, the easier that is. But at the same time, you still have to run by people and get by people and be shifty, because it's not just bang, bang, bang at all times playing running back.
Last one. Run blocking, is that the number one thing that gets you yanked out of a game if you don't do it correctly?
Yes, sir. The main focus for a running back, the number one priority is protecting the quarterback. So, of course, blocking is going to be a main thing, and making sure the quarterback is protected, because that's the leader of the offense. You got to make sure he's good at all times. So, yeah, that's the main thing for us.
How well do you think that the offense is adjusting to the new guys that are coming in, especially at the quarterback position with Garrett coming back and guys like Michael coming in? Mm-hmm. How well do you guys think that you guys are adjusting to that?
I think as an offense, we try to maximize the potential of everyone. So whether it's Juwan, you know, he's electric, he's shifty, he can get out the backfield, do all type of stuff, and at the same time, he can throw the ball.
Notice what he said about protecting the quarterback. You know, Cliff makes a really good point. If he improves his pass protection, he'll be great. Well, what's funny was last year, LSU's running backs had diabolically bad pass protection grades. Josh Williams was destroyed by PFF. A 13 was given to him. Caden Durham, a true freshman, was given a 19 in pass protection. That is graded out of 100. Caleb Jackson actually had an 82 grade protecting the quarterback, which I did not believe, but that's what the folks at PFF had Caleb Jackson as, and that's a good thing. You know, as a receiver out of the backfield, he showed something versus UCLA, had a big play in that game. So I understand part of this is me wanting to see this young man succeed, a man from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a man that we had highly graded, who we all thought was going to be something. But the fact that he came out and said, look, I am not transferring. I'm going to make this work. I am from Baton Rouge. I am from South Louisiana. This means a lot to me when it comes to wearing the purple and gold of LSU. I was a Frank Wilson recruit. Frank Wilson recruited the likes of Leonard Fournette and Jeremy Hill and so on at this position. This is where it should work out for you. So I'm really excited about Caleb going into next season. One other thing is I do think as a special teamer, he could provide something special for LSU. Maybe not as a returner. They're really loaded at that position, led by Xavion Thomas and, of course, Barron Brown, who's arguably the best kickoff returner in the history, or at least a modern era history of the SEC. But I'm super excited. I'm super duper excited for Caleb this next season, even though the film was tough and the second year was tough. Okay. Now, coming up next, I really, really believe one player is beginning to emerge at LSU practice. And it's one thing that we also need to be cautious about at the same time.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY. You're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy, We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. Shout out to Bauer Sharp. I do think there is a world where LSU, just based in personnel, they're playing a lot of 12 personnel. It's something that Clifton in the chat has been asking for. And Bauer Sharp and Tre'Davious Green are both going to play a lot. And one thing to keep in mind about that is, let's just say Tre'Davious Green gets out-snapped slightly by Bauer Sharp. That is not the be-all, end-all. That is not the end of the world. In fact, an even snap share between the two of them would actually be potentially a good thing. Let's take Mason Taylor, for instance. This is a tight end who had to play so many snaps because we didn't have any other tight ends. And I really want you to think about, since 2020, LSU has not produced any good tight ends except for Mason Taylor. Now, I'm not talking about, like, star tight ends, because Mason Taylor, of course, is a star tight end. He has all the tight end records. I'm talking about playable tight ends. Cole Taylor was barely playable. He was not good at LSU. I'm glad his shoe was loose, but he wasn't a great player. And there have been a lot of other tight end recruits who honestly packed their bags before they ever even played a snap. It's a hard position. So Bauer Sharp, even if he's not like a stud, he is going to make LSU a better football team. I truly do believe it. Now, am I concerned about his blocking? Yes, I am. Am I concerned about Tre'Davious Green's blocking? Yes, I am. But blocking is never really good at the tight end position. It doesn't matter how many times you try to make it work. You're going to lose a lot of reps if you're a tight end blocking. What I am more concerned about, though, is our offensive line, because that is indeed their job to block. But if you're watching this on YouTube, really appreciate each and every one of you. And if you're listening to this via iTunes, Spotify, and any podcast platform, please leave a 5-star review. What I want to do is acknowledge that this weekend is a huge weekend for LSU athletics. Absolutely, positively massive. As you can see, women's golf and women's tennis has already played, but that's not the focus. A lot of you will be tuning in to LSU baseball tonight. A 3-game series beginning versus Alabama, that being at Alec Box Stadium. That's getting ready to start here in about 30-ish minutes, and we will hopefully be off by then, because I really do want to watch this ranked matchup tonight. But as many of you know, LSU softball, they're underway versus number 3 Texas at Texas. So softball has hit a bit of a snag, but then again, they've been playing, to me, the two best teams in softball. Texas A&M last week, and then Texas this week. So they're playing teams that are probably better than them. So we'll see how this plays out. But the biggest event over the weekend will be the National Gymnastics Final. That starts tonight. It's a late, I almost said tip-off. What is it? Beam-off? Floor-off? Whatever you want to call it. They will hit the mats tonight, 8 Central in Fort Worth, Texas. LSU, number 1 overall. Michigan State, number 8 overall. UCLA, number 5 overall. Number 4, Utah. So what's interesting about gymnastics is I honestly thought there would be a drop-off when Dede Bro decided to retire. But Jay Clark has taken what she's built to another level, and hopefully LSU can defend their gymnastics championship. So shout out to the LSU gymnastics team. I think gymnastics was my favorite sport to cover when I was a student media member, because they really let you get up close. Like, I was on the mat when Ashley Claire Kearney scored a 10. Or I wasn't on the mat. That would be crazy. But I was basically floor level behind the judges. That was still one of the craziest things I've ever seen. So good luck, obviously, to LSU softball. A lot of you will be locked into LSU baseball. But I will be focused on the gymnastics tonight, along with baseball, honestly. But still, LSU softball, of course, playing while we are live right now. Let's go to Jordan. He wants to talk some Thunder Jackson. Star-studded backfield. Oh, you want to go back to Adrian Peterson. Platinum Obama. Good to see you. And let's see here. Carter, can you please talk NFL draft? This comes in from Chris, okay, we could talk some NFL draft tonight. What about the NFL draft, Chris? I get a lot of, like, personal messages. Post it in the chat. Post it in the chat. No one's going to bite your head off. You don't have to have your face as an avatar. Even though it Cliff's a day one, Jordan's a day one, I used to bully people in the YouTube chat for putting your face on an actual avatar. Please. We want to see those beautiful faces. I don't care if you got a patchy beard or some jankum teeth. I don't care. I want to see. At least put a photo of your dog. I've been a dog sitter all week. Now, let's get back to college football. This is, to me, one thing that's very interesting is that LSU, they don't have any 2027s committed just yet. I think that's going to change in the near future. They are working really hard on 2026 recruits, including a five-star quarterback. Not only a five-star quarterback, a number 10 nationally ranked recruit. They have Tristan Keys, a five-star already committed. So an overall good 2026 class, even though Clifton's good friend, the safety from Catholic High, decided to go to Ohio State. Sore subject. I like this film. But whatever the case may be, I am of the belief that the 2026 class will be good. But as many of you know, Tristan Keys will be the center of it. I do think Tristan Keys makes a five-star quarterback pretty interested in going to the school. So hopefully that lends itself to LSU flipping one of these quarterbacks that they're after. You know, he lost out on the Diabelle sweepstakes, and I liked him a lot out of American Heritage, but it is what it is. I also liked his dad, Rajah Bell. I was a big fan of his. Now, I want to talk about genetics really quickly. So I was watching the NBA playoffs the other night between the Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. And it's interesting that there was a time when four of the 10 players on the court were sons of former NBA players, two of which were sons of NBA 75 players. And on this current LSU team, there are a lot of sons of professional football players. So I would bring up, hey, if we're going to recruit a kid and we're on the fence about recruiting them, should we actually look into their genetic makeup? Now, some of these guys that they've brought in that have been sons of former LSU players or NFL players, they have not been good. But a good bit of them have been. Could you imagine where we would be if we never had Odell Beckham Jr.? His dad, of course, played at LSU. So genetics matter. They really, really, really do. And it's kind of a thing where it just hits you with a ton of bricks. Kids that are sons of actual professional athletes have such a massive advantage now. Because, you know, I was watching this the other day. Apparently, one of the number one basketball recruits, and I don't know what exact year this kid is in, but Marcus Spears' son is a massive basketball recruit. Massive. It's interesting. Massive. We need him in an LSU uniform in the worst way. We say hi to Jared. Good to see you. We say hi to Todd. Good to see you. Okay. Now, one small story. I know the season just ended. I do want to keep in the loop, my lovely viewers, my second favorite LSU sport, women's basketball. They have a huge recruit transfer from Wisconsin. Not Wisconsin, Wisconsin. Sarah Williams. She's like Miracle Shepherd. She spells it differently. Miracle is spelled with a J. Sarah is spelled S-E-R-A-H, Williams. Averaged 19-9 last year at Wisconsin. She is on her visit to LSU. Now, out of everything that we discussed tonight, this might be the biggest story of them all. Now, obviously, gymnastics, that's the biggest story. They're in the national finals. But outside of that, this is massive. Absolutely massive. If LSU can bring this in. Y'all, 19-9 in the Big Ten will translate to the SEC. This feels, now I watched some of her highlights a little bit earlier. This feels Morrow-ish. It really does. A number 7 pick in the WNBA draft type of feeling. So Sarah Williams, if you're watching this, while you visit LSU, I want you to know that Epic Shorty texted me earlier today that he would want nothing more for his birthday than for you to commit to LSU on the spot. And a happy birthday to you, Epic Shorty. PHL legend, Jared's in here. Let's go, Jay Red. Cliff, your arch nemesis, Brian is here. I'm kidding. Good to see you. Life is grand, man. A lot of PHL icons are in here. Now, I do want to end with plenty of time to get ready for LSU baseball, gymnastics, NBA playoffs, all that stuff. So, in the next 5 to 10 minutes, I want you to answer as many questions or ask as many questions as you possibly can. If you super chat, I'll go longer. I'm kind of in a good mood right now. I kind of want to stream the LSU baseball game or at least do a talk along. I can't stream it because, well, ESPN would come after me. Now, I don't want to get emotional here. I don't. But I did feel a tug in my heart when it was announced earlier today that Lee Corso will be doing his final college game day. For my birthday, my father gifted me a Lee Corso autographed LSU photo of him putting the Tiger hat on. Love it. You guys know. I'm a big Corso guy. I am also of the belief that it's time for him to move on. Anyone that's watched game day know it's been kind of a, tough. You know, you could tell he's older. But Lee Corso is the greatest college football commentator of all time. And I love that he had this niche of not calling games. If you wanted Lee Corso commentary, you needed to get him on game day. He didn't do podcasts. He didn't do television appearances. It honestly made game day what it is, a headgear pick. Everybody wanted it. It was iconic. So we only have one more headgear pick. Y'all, college game day has never been better. Never been better. Say what you want about McAfee. He is perfect on the show with Nick Saban. Show has got juice. Big noon kickoff. Tried to get Reese Davis to go over to Fox. He said, hell no. I'm not leaving Coach Saban to join Urban Meyer and those and that crew. And I actually like a lot of the people on the Fox Big Noon Kickoff crew. But Lee Corso calling it quits. I truly do believe Corso is the best college football personality of all time. When it comes to media, of course. I also found it fitting that in his final full year, Indiana had the season that they had, with him, of course, being the former Indiana head coach. Now, what does College Game Day do without Lee Corso? Nothing. Nothing. Don't try and force anyone else in that spot. The show is fine. I don't have anything against David Pollack. Everyone made a big deal when David Pollack was kicked off the show. You know, he's doing his own thing now. I'm sure he's enjoying life doing that. But the show is fine as is. It really is fine as is. I have no qualms with game day. Now, the funny thing about game day is that it is interesting that the SEC show is also good with Marty and McGee, Feinbaum, Tebow, Roman Harper. It's honestly good. It's a good product. You know, I'm flipping back and forth. I like it. Now, I don't watch the Big Noon kickoff, but I'm also an SEC country, so I'm gonna be watching that. But, you know, for me, I don't know what I'm going to do without my Corso, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. I am really been out of shape, and we're not going to have Corso commentary ever again. Now, the big debate is, where will game day be for its final game? And as many of you know, week one in college football is loaded. Alabama will be at Florida State. LSU, of course, will be at Clemson. But many feel it's going to be Texas and Ohio State. That's why I think it's going to be those two teams played in the playoff last year. They're both going to be top. They might be the number one and number two team next year, heading into next year. And I do believe Corso's put Brutus on his head more than any other school, right? But I don't know that, but I do know the first ever headgear pick was Brutus 30 years ago. So I'm excited. I'm going to be pumped up to watch that in South Carolina with Jared and everybody else who's going to be at the Clemson game. So there you go. Now, let's see. As far as the portal is concerned, so John Emery officially enters the transfer portal. It's not a big deal that this next guy entered the portal, but I do want to commend him for playing LSU football, and that's Javon Nichols. He's been with LSU basically for the entirety of the Brian Kelly era, and he's mostly been a backup special teamer, but he's actually played probably more wide receiver reps than you would think. It's not a whole lot, but he's actually played. You know how difficult it is to play wide receiver at LSU, and then not only play wide receiver at LSU, but do so as a walk-on. That is the hardest position basically in all of college football to play, which is cracking a wide receiver rotation that puts multitudes of players into the NFL. And Javon Nichols held his own. So as a walk-on, he decided to enter the portal, and he has 2 years of eligibility left. I want to commend him for it. It's not going to be a whole lot of you know, people crying over him leaving or whatever. But I just love players that really love playing for LSU, and he was definitely one of them. Now, as far as health is concerned, we are, you know, wrapping up spring ball. It was a little bit awkward that, you know, you played your public spring scrimmage and you still have more practices after the fact. It felt, just based on reading practice reports, speaking to players and whatnot, it does feel like we are ready to see what's going to happen over the next couple of days regarding this window. But I think the bigger thing as far as these practices are concerned is LSU has had so many players out, key players that have been out. Weeks being one of them, Perkins being another. I mean, that's your linebacker room, basically. How are you going to get a look without those two guys being available? Another interesting player who started off this spring cycle running with the twos, he's rehabbing an injury. He was a New Orleans high school superstar, it's Destin Hill. They gave him that number two, that single digit. Worn by Kyron Lacy, Justin Jefferson, Demetrius Byrd, and so on. I'm very excited to see what he does next year if he can get healthy. So there you go. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to go eat some dinner. I'm going to turn on some LSU baseball. I'll be chatting about the game while the game is going on in our Discord. Now, I have some good news. I'm about to push publish on this right now. Actually, no, I screwed it up. Let me see. Yeah, I did screw this up because I am an idiot. I was going to push publish on a thing I've been working on all day. LSU had a record-setting problem last year with their offense. And it's pretty crazy when I dove a little bit deeper into it, how big of a deal this actually ended up becoming with last year's team. Okay? So, go to Patreon. I'll have it published here in about 5 or so minutes. It's kind of like weird. I did all of this, and I accidentally deleted it, but I just got to re-upload it. I am shocked. Thank you, Jared, for your super chat. Shocked at how big of an issue this was for LSU last year. I thought it was an issue, but it's something you don't really think about until the season is actually over and you put it all together. It'll be on Patreon in just a moment. Old Babin. That is so wild. I had thought for certain that it was... I'm an idiot. But let's go watch some LSU baseball. LS! Power hour. LSU. Boom! Let's take this from... Actually, no, we'll keep it going. Well, we're still 20 minutes away. We've got a few legends joining us here. Colorado retiring numbers. Huh? They get stupid. Obviously, Travis Hunter. Yeah, I get that. Heisman Trophy winners, they should have their jersey numbers retired. I'm late, but the poll answers are surprising. I'd be surprised at this point if Harlan Berry didn't step into Josh's receiving role one day and solidify him as RB2 midway through the year. All right. Now, one thing I want to be clear is I got a very angry email from a viewer saying, Carter, you're not talking enough about Philip Lindsay. Okay. Now, I say Philip Lindsay because I was watching the Colorado interview. JT Lindsay. I'm going to get another angry email. But Philip Lindsay is a Colorado running back who made a big fuss about the jersey retiring for Colorado. He was a good back. If JT Lindsay is Philip Lindsay, then we're cooking. JT Lindsay, though, is someone we probably should be focusing more attention to. You know, JT Lindsay is a guy that physically probably needs a year. But I'll say this. I'm a big believer in Alexandria, Louisiana, baby. I love Alexandria. I love the 75-mile-per-hour zone, baby. I'm hoping JT Lindsay comes out and surprises us all. But the poll question, as TJ points out, how many yards total will Caleb Jackson have next year? 11% of you said 1,000-plus. 16% of you say 701 plus. 56% of you said 401 to 700 yards. And 18% of you said 400 or less. Am I a little fuzzy? No, I did get fuzzy. I'm looking at my actual source video. I think it's... Oh, actually, I know what it is. I juked out my actual software. Huh? TJ, thank you for the super chat. I appreciate it. No, you didn't have to do all that. So it is officially final. LSU softball goes down to Texas. It's not really a shocker. Has some revenge. Remember, we beat them last year. But there you go. No, it's me, Jared. It's my fault. On the fuzzy video. But I think you could still hear me okay. But yeah. To the emailer. I won't say his name. JT Lindsay is a stud. Now, I do want to also share this. There was a viewer who didn't actually watch my video, and it's someone that it's related to a player on the team. And in that video, I praised that player, that player's family member. And I didn't quite understand it. It's important to watch the videos. But on Power Hour LSU, I have an open door policy. You could always reach out to me on Twitter at Power Hour LSU or Instagram at Power Hour LSU. Okay. Now, we will go on ahead and sign off here. Thank you so much, TJ. We appreciate it. We will have the Patreon study up for you right at the end of this. And don't forget, Jamar Chase jersey giveaway will be at the end of this month. We're doing that big time. Let's go. Now, big announcement. On Monday, we will have a very special partnership. That's big for us on PHL as we get ready for NFL draft week. So be on the lookout for that. We're pumped up about it. You're going to love it. It involves one of the best LSU football players of all time. You're going to love it, okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! And tonight, we are doing... Oh, Sketty. Let's go.